You know, I really believe it is possible for us to live in love. You know, it's not a theory or a concept that we're talking about. It's a practical living reality that we can live in love. You know, and I think many of us have wondered, can we? You know, is it possible? And you know, we've struggled in our journey, and you know, struggles still happen, and inevitably that's going to be the case. But it really is possible to live in love. Let me just read you a few verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Don't look it up. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And just drink these words. Just let them soak into you. Because I think it's really caught a sort of new emphasis in this translation for this very, very well-known passage, which is, you know, Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. He says this: I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favour until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with all the fullness of God. Isn't that wonderful? I love the way he's put that, that the resting place of his love will become the source and root of our life. You know, have you got your favourite chair at home? Yeah, we all have our favourite chairs. You got a favourite chair? I've got a favourite chair. It's my chair. You know, if anybody is in my chair when I get home, they have to get out because it's my chair. But, you know, I come home and at the end of a day of work and I sit in my chair and think, I'm home. I belong. You know, and if the kids sit in my chair, they know that when I come in, they're out, you know. But it's just like, you can take a deep breath. When I've been travelling and I get home and I have my first night in my bed, it's like, oh, there's no bed like your own bed, is there? And it's like, and it's a little bit like that. Paul is praying here that the resting place of the Father's love, the sofa of the Father's love, would be the source and root of our life, providing us with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Yeah, and Paul's very practical in this passage because he said that, you know, this love coming into our hearts, we cannot contain it in our natural spirit. And Paul prays that our spirit will be strengthened supernaturally to enable us to receive and contain the love that the Father wants to pour into our hearts. And as we receive more and more of that love, so the container of our heart is strengthened and expands so that we can receive and contain more. And then as we receive more, so it is strengthened again to receive even more. We will be empowered as our spiritual strength increases. We will be empowered to discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching, how enduring and inclusive, endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with all the fullness of God. What do you think the fullness of God looks like? I think the fullness of God is pretty full. You know, the fullness of God is a full fullness, isn't it? And Paul is praying that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know that I can contain all the fullness of God. And that's why we, you know, our natural spirit needs to be strengthened. You know, every time I think about that, I think, what is the fullness of God? I think, you know, I've just tasted a bit and I've grown in it and I've experienced more. And I think, what is all the fullness of God? You know, what does that look like? You know, all of the fullness of God being poured into our hearts. I think, wow. You know, and he wants to do that for each one of us. To pour the fullness of his presence into our hearts. That's a lot of fullness. that's a good dose. See, I really believe it's possible to live in love. I really believe, you know, the NIV and other translations, they say be rooted and grounded, or rooted and established in love, like, you know, planted in love. Like the little seed of our life is planted in a pot of love. And, you know, it's not beyond us. It's not beyond our grasp. It's not out of our reach. It's something that is possible. It's really, really possible for each one of us to live in love and to live loved and to know that we are being loved now. See, there's a big, big difference in knowing that God is a God of love to knowing that he is loving you now. There's a, you know, they are poles apart. There's a big difference between knowing God is a father and knowing that he is a father to you. They are the other end of the spectrum. See, you know, because I've told you, you know that I'm a dad. You know that I've got four children. I've got three girls and a boy. I can tell you all about them. I can tell you all about the things we've done as a family. I can tell you about the holidays we've had, the places we've been, the fun we've had, the difficulties we've had. I can tell you what a wonderful father I've been. And you can go home at the end of the day thinking, Mark must have been a wonderful dad. I wish Mark was my dad. Well, you might not think that, but, you know. And, you know that I'm a father. But there's only four people on this planet that I'm a father to. And that's my kids. See, we all know that God is a father. All of us know that God's a father. But do we know that he is being a father to us? And there is a massive, massive difference between those two statements, that God is a father and God is a father to us, that God is a God of love and God is loving us now. They are just like the other ends of the spectrum. And, you know, my hope is that we've moved a little bit towards this, that we know we're being loved now, that we know God is a father to us. 2 Corinthians 6:18, Paul writes, you know, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. You know, that's a really prophetic declaration that catches the heart of God the Father. You know, he doesn't just say, I will be a father. He says, I will be a father to you. And when I first heard, and I'm sure someone wrote those words in my Bible in 2002. You know, I'm sure someone came along and just slipped the words to you in. Because I'd read that verse loads and loads of times, but all I'd read in my mind was, I will be a father. And one day I read, I will be a father to you. And those words went into my heart. And, you know, if we understand that God is being a father to us, it changes everything. And that's why I called my website A Father to You. Because that's in a sense the journey that I've been on, is discovering that God is a father to me. I just added the word .com, which Paul missed out in the original. But you know, that sentence, if you like, I will be a father to you, is a sentence that's changed my life. And I guarantee that it will change your life if you let it. And it's not impossible. It's not beyond our grasp. It's a gift that each one of us can take hold of. That we can be rooted and grounded. We can be planted in love. We can let his love, the resting place of his love, be the source and the root of our life. That basically means that the thing that sustains you, the thing that gives you energy, the thing that motivates you is the love of the Father. And I really, really believe it's possible for us to live in that. If we're going to understand what the love of God is like, we have to be planted in it. You know, we can't understand it fully by looking at it from the outside. Because it's not something you look at, it's something you experience. You know, we have to get into it. We have to get into the pot. And we have to let our little roots go down deep into his love. You know, it's not something that's, you know, it's just not a nice ornament on the shelf that we look at. But it's the substance and the reality of our lives. John starts his first letter off with the words, you know, we write to you of the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, and the things that we have touched with our own hands. And for me, that just speaks of an experiential relationship. You know, we've touched it, we've seen it, we've heard about it, it's become life to us. You know, it's not something that has been out there, but it's something we've taken to us. And we have to set everything we read in the Bible in the context of relationship, because that's how it's written. The Bible's not written as a law book, it's written as a relational book. And when we set everything in the context of relationship, it changes the meaning, and it gives us the right meaning of what we should be understanding. And so Paul says, you know, we've seen and we've heard and we've touched, we've experienced this love of the Father. You know, it wasn't something that he just sort of come across one day, but it's something that he'd been planted in for all of his life. And John, as we know, he was the disciple that leant against Jesus' breast on the Last Supper. That he knew what that intimate place was. And he's the one who writes in his gospel of this intimate outpouring of love that we as sons and daughters are given the opportunity to live in. So if we're going to understand the love of God, we have to experience it. We have to be planted in it. And the more we're planted in it, it's, you know, we will grow because this love will sustain us and cause us to grow. And we will find that his pot of love is not a little flower pot that keeps us pot bound, but it's an ocean of love. You know, here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood. You know, and that's so true. And even the word ocean limits the love of God, because it's a limitless ocean of love. It's not God who needs to change. You know, he said, I am the Lord, I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's something inside of us that says, I see something, I want it. And it's something in our hearts that responds to him that enables us to receive all that he wants to do for us. You know, we think sometimes, I think, that at the end of Genesis chapter 3, you know, God changed. You know, and he suddenly became this great, angry, distant person that changed back again in part between Malachi and Matthew. And that's not the case. God didn't change at all. You know, he was a father before the beginning of time. He was a father before the clock started ticking in Genesis. And he is always a father. He never changed. His heart of love never changed. It was the heart of mankind that changed at the end of Genesis chapter 3. And it's the heart of mankind, your heart and my heart, that changes back in order to receive this amazing gift that we're offered. When we come with a hungry heart and say, Father, this is what I long for. This is what I want. this is how I want to live. I want to live as your son. I want to live as your daughter. I want to live rooted and grounded in love. Because to know it, we have to experience it. And as we experience it, I believe there's a hunger inside of us that wants more. You know, sometimes I see people that have been really captivated by the love of the Father, and you know, their lives have been turned upside down, and then 2 years later it's like, what's happened to them? You know, it's like, oh yeah, that was okay. That was the A school, that Father Heart conference, that was nice, that was okay. But now we're back to business, back to the job, back to doing the work. And I think something in your heart has died. You know, when I look at them, I think, your heart was so alive. But now it's just not. And there's a sadness inside of me when I see that. And I think, oh, Father, why? Because if we're caught up with this amazing love, this amazing substance of love, you know, I believe it will put a hunger in us that will make us want to pursue it every day of our lives. Because we can't get, you know, we won't be able to get enough of it. And that's the, if you like, that's the encouragement I want to leave with us, you know, at the end of today, is to pursue this with all of our hearts. And it's very, very simple. You know, all you have to do is take your hand and put it on your heart. Shall we do this, you know, just so you get into the routine, you know, and then just put it on your heart and say, Father,
Father,
will you fill me with your love now? And if you want to, you can put amen on the end, but he doesn't mind if you don't. Father, will you fill me with your love now? Let's just do that for a few moments. Father, fill me with your love now. See, I do that around my office. I don't say it out loud because they think I'm funny enough already, but, you know, I will walk around my office and just walk up the stairs with my hand on my heart, and I'm just saying, Father, fill me with your love now. If I'm really impatient, I say, Father, will you fill me with your love right now? But, you know, I walk around the office. I'll go out for a walk at lunchtime or walk down the high street of my town and just put my hand on my heart and say, Father, fill me with your love now. I'll do it when I'm driving the car. But you have to be a little bit more careful when you're driving a car. But you can stand at the sink and wash up one-handed, I think. Maybe. Put in the dishwasher one-handed. You know. And you can say, Father, you know, it's not rocket science. But it's a prayer that he loves to answer. And you know, if we just get in the habit of doing that, as we say that, we're opening our hearts. And as we're opening our hearts, he will just pour his love in. And I just encourage you to do that several times a day. You know, just whenever you remember, just do it. And you will notice the difference. You will notice that your life is changing, that your heart is changing, that God is giving you this greater level of peace, this greater level of rest, this greater level of freedom. You don't need a prayer ministry team around you, as good as they are. You just need a hand. You don't even need a hand, actually, but a hand. You can just say, Father, fill me with your love now. And he will, because he delights in pouring his love into us. See, we all have a certain level of knowledge about God the Father. You know, we all have gained you know, some idea of what God's like. And, you know, we've done that through our Sunday school days, our church days. We've been reading the Bible. We've sung the songs, which sometimes are wrong theology, by the way. But, you know, we've got quite a bit of knowledge of what God is like. But there are those moments, aren't there, when we get like a revelation of what God is like. And it's like the curtain is drawn and we go, oh, wow. And you go home and you say, I've been at a Father Heart day today, and guess what? God's really like, God's a father. And the person you're saying it goes, oh, no. Yeah, so what's new? See, because you're operating out of a revelation and they're operating out of their head knowledge. And you're really excited about something. Did you know that God's the Father? Yeah, we knew that. Yeah, we learned that. You know, haven't you read the Lord's Prayer, Our Father art in heaven, you know? And it's like the revelation is clashing with the knowledge. And there's those times when we get those revelations and we think, yes, this is it. But I believe there's something deeper than a revelation that we need to pursue. It's like my iPhone. The iPhone is like the Trinity. Right. It is. Before I had an iPhone, I had a mobile phone. I had a mobile phone, I had an electronic organizer, and I had an iPod. So I had three things, three chargers, and, you know, had to carry three things around in my pocket. When this thing came out, it was three in one. So it's the Trinity. See? So when... When the iPhone first came out, I thought, this looks good. Because, you know, I'm always forgetting one of the three chargers, or I was always, you know, pockets get a bit full. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice just to have one of these and just carry this around, have my music, my electronic organizer, and my phone all in one toy. So I thought, that looks pretty cool. So I went on the internet and I did a lot of research as to what an iPhone was like and what it could do and, you know, how much memory it had and how fast it worked and all the technical specifications like people like me go into. So I gained a lot of knowledge about an iPhone. You know, I knew what it could do, I knew how it worked and so on and so forth. And then one day we had some friends come to our house and the guy pulled out an iPhone from his pocket and I started drooling. I said, hey, is that an iPhone? Yeah, can I hold it? You know, and he let me hold it and I touched it and, you know, saw what happened and so on. And, you know, that was my revelation moment. You know, it was like, wow, it really does do what it says. You know, it really does touch and something happens. And, you know, the sound wasn't too bad and all that sort of thing. And that was that moment of sort of, wow, revelation. But I had to give it back. When he went, I had to give it back to him. But one day, see, God is so good to me because the shop underneath our office it's not an Apple store. The shop underneath our office is a mobile phone shop. So I didn't have very far to go. But one day I went into that mobile phone shop downstairs and I said, I want my iPhone. It's mine. I must have. You know, my precious. Yes. You know, and that became mine. And it's got my music on, my games on, my books on it, my phone numbers, my contacts, my apps, my pictures. It's mine. And, you know, the Father's love is like the iPhone. We can get all the knowledge about God. And it's good. We understand him. We know what he's like. But we don't have a heart relationship with him. There are times we get a revelation of what he's like. And we go, yes. And we go, wow, God is so good. And it's like being at the theatre and the curtains are drawn back. And you go, oh, what an amazing stage. And you see the orchestra and you hear them play. And you go, oh. But 6 months later, that's just a memory. That was a good night out, you know. Oh, do you remember when we went to the theatre? Do you remember that play we saw? And it's just an experience. But when we have an impartation of the love of the Father into our hearts, then we can say, this is mine. This is mine. This is me. This is me. And my encouragement as we finish today is very, very simple. Don't settle for knowledge about him. Don't even settle for a revelation of him, however good that may be, because that revelation will just become a memory. Mm-hmm. But go with all your heart for an ongoing impartation of his love into your hearts, because that will change everything. And as that happens, we begin to live as sons and daughters. We begin to live in the love of the Father in exactly the same way as Jesus lived in the love of the Father. We begin to live not like the older son who was a slave in his father's house, but we live like that younger son who's come home. Oh, I'm home. I belong. This is my place. And I encourage you to seek for that impartation of love. Can you put the projector on, Mike? I just want to play something in a minute. We go for that impartation of his love because it will change everything. Let me read out those verses from Ephesians chapter 3 again. Because this is an exciting journey. I believe this is a journey that will change the world. It will not just change us, but it will change the world. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me that God the Father has made his home in my heart. It never ceases to amaze me that he loves me like he loves Jesus. It never ceases to amaze me that I'm a son like Jesus is a son. So Ephesians 3, again. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God.